Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ch, we begin Perek Shlish, the third chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Arachin V'Haram in the Sefer Afla, where now the Rambam continues regarding the financial ability of the one who takes the vow, and regarding possible leniencies, what's known as Hesed Yad, and regarding the actual collection process of the one who took the vow. As the Rambam opens up Halacha Aleph regarding, it's important to know the timing of the evaluation. Hamarach es apachis mi ben esem. If someone evaluates, takes the erich value of an individual that's under 20 years old, which then his erichin is 20 shkal. Loyamad bedin, and he didn't get a chance to go and be qualified by the courts at shahayu yasra al esem until he was already above 20 years old, which then his erichin actually goes up to 50 shkalim. Still, although we go based on Hamad Bedin, but he's only going to give based on the valuation that he was worth when he was less than 20. Because the evaluation is only based on the time when the person took that erich vow. So although you need to have the Hamad Bedin, but that's just a condition. But the actual erich is based on when the person said it, not when they actually have that the courts evaluate the value of the person that he took the erich. So therefore he's going to give the 20, not the 50 shkol. Halacha base. Now the Rambam continues regarding this halacha of hesed yad. What's if the person does not have the financial wherewithal to fulfill his vow? So kol ha'arachin ha'ksuv b'Torah, all the arachin that have set, which all of them do have a set amount in the Torah, heim shenizin hamarach im hoya asher. That is only if the one who took the vow of arachin was a wealthy person, so he could fulfill his quota of what the Torah says is the amount. But if it's a pauper of Ein Yod Masekis and he cannot afford that Erich evaluation, then he gives whatever he has in his hand, meaning whatever he has in his bank account, even one Selah, and then he exempts his obligation, like says the Pasuk in Yikra. If he's too poor from filling your Erich vow, then based on what the hand of the one who took the vow could afford, that's what he's going to give. Now, Halacha Gimel. And how do we know that he could even give just one selah, even if all he has one selah? Something it says in the Pasuk over there. It says in Pasuk Chafei, V'chol erkecha yih b'shekel ha-kodesh, that all your evaluation should be with the holy shkalim, which, although it means to say it should be with shkalim, but what you could also learn is that all the arachin should not be less than a shekel. Almata, this comes to teach, Shem arachin b'chaz meselah, which that's what the shekel is, that arachin don't have less than a selah. Again, it could be as low as a selah, but not less than that. And below yes, al chamishim, and not more than 50, which that's the highest evaluation of a male from 20 to 60, is 50 shkalim. So it's not less than a selah, and not more than 50 shlam. Now, look at doubt. Harishalay nintzabiyod afil a selah. What happens if someone doesn't have even a selah? So ain loichim in the pachas meselah. Then you don't take, like we said, whatever he has, you don't take less than a selah. Elah actually is going to come out of stringency. Yishar ha'kol lovchayv. All of it will remain on him. A debt, an obligation, because he has not fulfilled it. Yeah, you could give one sell or two slum and then fulfill it, but if you don't have even that, you have not fulfilled it, then matzu yod behesh, and then if it ever turns out that he finds the ability and becomes wealthy, yitn erich sholem akatz b'tar, he actually give them the full evaluation, let's say that 23-year-old of 50 shkalim, when he has that opportunity, but he's not fulfilled his obligation, so the fact that he had less, actually have to give the whole amount. Halacha, hey, ashur sheherich veheni. A wealthy person who evaluated, he took the erich vow and he became poor before the kohen evaluated him. Or the other way around. He took the erich vow when he was a pauper and then he became wealthy. In both these situations, he's going to be obligated in the evaluation of a wealthy person, meaning not of hesegat to give like a poor person. He's saying they have to give the full amount. The reason for that is when he's poor and he becomes wealthy, because if he could afford it, and now he could afford it because he became wealthy, albeit he was poor when he took the vow. And if he was wealthy and became poor, the pasuk says al pi ashatasigat neider, which means to say that when the mouth said it, if he could afford it, which he was wealthy when he took it, even though now he's poor, then he has that obligation too. Now avlam herakushu ani vehesha b'chaz v'heni, but if he was poor when he took the vow, he became wealthy and then became poor before the hamad b'din. Then Nisn Erich Ani then is going to give the valuation of what a poor person could afford, because at the time of the Neder and at the time of the Aracha, he's an Ani, and therefore he goes based on Hesed Yad. Halacha Vav, Asher Sha'amar, if a wealthy person says, Erki Olai, Oy Erich Plaini, my Erich value is on me, or that person's Erich value is on me. V'shamah Ani Vam, and the pauper hears this wealthy person saying this Erich vow, and he says, Ma Shama Zeh Olai, what this guy said is on me. Hariya Ani Chayiv Be'erich Asher. Sure, Erech Shalom. So then the pauper actually has to give the evaluation of a wealthy person when the wealthy person takes the erek vow, which is the full amount. The reason for that is because what the pauper took over here was not an erechin, it was a vow. So therefore, as Rambam is going to say in the halacha test, you don't have hesigyad by neder. Because he didn't take a neder, he says, he's taking a vow. What this guy has to give, I have to give too. That guy was taking erechin, you're taking a vow to give what he gave. So therefore, he doesn't get hesigyad. Now, aval oni sherech hasa ashav amin, but if a pauper takes the erech value of a wealthy person, he says, erech zalai, this wealthy person's erechin is on me, well, then, that's the erechin. He only has to give the erech of a poor person, which that's, again, according to what he could afford. Now, Aloha Zayin, the Rambam explains, says, what's the difference between someone who's obligated in an erech of a poor person, to someone who's obligated in the erech of a usher, shuhu erech akatsav kule, which that's an evaluation of the entire amount that the Torah says. In other words, what's the difference? He's anyways a poor person. So what are you going to gain if you're going to obligate him in the erech of a wealthy person? Which this question is going back to the beginning of the previous halacha, which we said that, oh, one situation is he's going to be chayiv in the erech shalom because he took a nether. And the second half of the halacha says, no, if he's taking a erechin, so then it's an erechin, and then he has hesagyad. What's the difference if he's chayiv be'erech ani or chayiv be'erech asher, which is the full amount? Either way, he's a poor person. So the difference is because if he's like the second half of the previous halacha, which he took an erech, it doesn't make a difference of a wealthy person, but it's an erech and he's a poor person. So they take from him whatever he has, even if one seller, and even if he subsequently becomes wealthy, but in the chayim l'sham, he's not going to have to supplement and make it up because he already fulfilled his obligation. That's the Torah tells us this unique halacha by erechin. But if he was obligated in the erech of the wealthy person, let's say in the case of when he took a nether of that. But be that as it may, if we're obligating him in that, so then, although you're right, he can only afford, let's say, 3 slime, and he has another 47 to go, so, but he has not exempted himself. You're right, he can only afford what he could afford, but the obligation is still there, and if he ever makes money, then he's going to have to fulfill the obligation. That's the difference if you chayv in the erich ani or in the erich of asher. Halach ches, Ram continues regarding that the halach of this hesigyad could actually depend on based on the wording that the person said. Let someone specifies an explicit regarding the erich evaluation. He says, that my value, I'm 23 year old, my value, which is 50 slum, is on me. Or that person who's 30 slum, his evaluation, like the Torah says, is on me. Here he's not going to have the halacha of what he could afford, because since he was explicit with the amount, it's not an erich. It's as if he took a vow for this amount of money, which, as we're going to see in the next halacha, does not have the halacha of hesigyat. Rather, we take whatever he could afford, and the rest is an obligation, a liability for him until he becomes wealthy, and then he can give. As Rambam gets his halacha test, v'cheinu omer. So if someone says, domai olai, my monetary value is on me, or you make plenty lay with the monetary value of that person is on me, which is not erichin, which is nedarim, it's domim. In the need of hesigyad. Oh, there it does not get the qualification of hesigyad of the sliding scale. Shechayavi damim heim pirshin nidrim, because those who are obligated themselves in the monetary value, they're explicit in their vow. It's as if he said that the entire monetary value of that person, which is whatever he's worth to be sold in the marketplace, is on me, where in contrast to erich, which is unspecified, where not everybody knows what it says in the Torah, how much to give according to each gender and each age of the person. So therefore, that's the difference. That by erechin, there you could get hesigyad because it's not explicit. The Torah tells you there it's going to be hesigyad. But here, when you're taking a monetary value, it's like you're explicitly saying the value, like we said in the prior halacha. Even if you say erech elai, but you say chamishim slayim, varem kimisha ama. It's like as if he said mona lai hekdesh. There's 100 dinam that I mean that I have to give the hekdesh. Ruchayv lid mona lai. We have to give that. There's no hesigyad because you said explicitly you have to give it this amount. Erechin, you said erech. Now, the Torah says a certain amount, but you weren't explicit in that, and that's where you get hesigyad, not by nedarim of damim, and not when you were explicit by that of erechin. Halacha yod ha'omer, if someone says, harei olai erech stam, says, it's upon me to give an unspecified erech, v'lei perish, he wasn't explicit. So, enekim before shlesh shkam, although we had said in the previous halacha, that, okay, he's going to have to give the minimum amount, which is that we don't know which erech, so the least amount of erechin of an individual is 3 shkolim. So the Rambam is clarifying, he says, it's not like you, as if you explicitly said, oh, shleish shkolim. It's not, you said erech. And yeah, it's going to be the minimum, which is three. So Elanid Mesig Yad, rather you're going to have the halacha of how much you can afford. Again, Kasham Marich, like all of the people take Erech Vow. Halachid Alfa, if someone says, Erechi Olai, my Erech value is on me to bring. V'chazvam, and then again he says, Erechi Olai, my Erech value is upon me to bring. Now, he had in his bank account, he has 10 slum. Now, V'nasin Teisha Lishniya, and he goes and he gives 9 of the slum for the second Erech Vow that he took, which the Kohen had evaluated him on the second Erech Vow first. And so this was everything that he could afford, what's called Hesed Yad, because he couldn't have given even the 10th Selah that he had, because that was Meshubit to pay up the first Erech Vow that he took. So he wasn't evaluated on that yet. He didn't have a Mother B'din, but that's an obligation. So when he gives the remaining 9, because the first one, you have to give at least a Selah, so the remaining 9 that he has that he gives for the second one, and then he gives the Selah B'Rishayin that he gives after the Kohen, then he goes evaluates him on the first Erech Vow, and now he's only left with a Selah, so he gives that remaining Selah for the first Vow, so Yotzi Deishtein, so he's fulfilled his obligation. And the Chiddush in this is, the Rambam explains this, Sha'arach and Lav Kochevesim, because Erech Vows are not like monetary obligations, where by monetary obligations, the Halach is, whoever's debt is earlier, he has collections earlier. And if a later debtor collects, we take it away from him. So here, says the Rambam, Sha'afa Pishakoma Shabiyad Mishub Lushan, because although whatever he has, the 10th slime, which is not even enough, but whatever he does have, it has is collateral to the first Erech Vow. But Hektish Ma'ucha Shagava, but a subsequent Hektish, meaning his second Erech Vow, if they collect, Gava is considered collected. And therefore, those 9 is going to be sufficient for the second one, because again, at least one he had to leave with the first one. And the first one, now you only left with 1. So the 9 that you took is going to be valid, and the 1 remaining, which is, that's all you're left with, which is the minimum amount, will fulfill the first Erech Vow. Now, Aval Nosim Teisha L'Rishaynom, but if let's say the Kohen evaluated him on the first Erech Vow first, and he gives 9 out of the 10 for the first one, V'achas L'Shniya, and then the remaining one for the second Erech Vow, Yidei Shniya Yatza, the second Erech Vow, he's going to fulfill his obligation. Why? Because when he's giving that Selah for the second Erech Vow, he actually doesn't have any other funds. He can't afford, and one Selah is the minimum, and he's fulfilling that obligation. But the first Vow is not fulfilled. Why? Whatever he had in his bank account then was collateral to the first Erech Vow. So when he gave the 9 slime, initially Selah, he still had 1 Masel left over. So he didn't give whatever he could afford. He has not fulfilled his obligation. Therefore, Yishar loves Shar Erech Rishon. Therefore, he still has the obligation of the rest of the debt of the first Erech Vow. Until he becomes wealthy, and then he supplements because he has not fulfilled. He didn't do the Hesed Yad even because he didn't give the 10th Selah. Halacha Yud Beis. If someone says, 2 of my Erechin are on me, now, he only had less than what would be the value of him double. Whatever his Erech Vow, let's say it's 50, so, and he has to give 50 times 2 because he took 2 Erechin, which is 100. He has 98. He has only less than the 2 Erechin. Sorry, Hadavar Safik. Says the Rambam, so there's an element of doubt over here. Why? Im nitpes l'shneyem, do we say, okay, but you took 2 simultaneous Erechin vows, and we extended to both of them. So each one has rights. So okay, 50-50. You give 50%, you give half what you have for one Erech value, and you give the other one for the other one, and vipata, and you exempt because you can't afford, and you give what you could. And each one has that obligation, so each one has the 50% right. Oh, yitin Erech Echem Hem Shalmo. Maybe no. You have to give from one of them the full amount. Or whatever you could afford, at least for one of them. And then the other one is remaining as a debt. Until you give it as a pauper, or a wealthy person, whatever he could afford. Because whatever you gave for the first one, you fulfill that one. Now it's still what you have left. Because you have enough for one. So give that for one, and you do it for one. And whatever you left, you left. So that's the question, that's a doubt. It's not clear what to do in that situation. Which the Radvaz says, so then it depends whoever grabs first, as we have it regarding monetary law, and then the other one, well, other party will be Amay Tzimecha Be'ela Baraya. But that's element of doubt, the way the Rambam says it. Halachi Gimel, the Rambam continues regarding the responsibility for the payment and for the collection of this Erech Vows. Tzahamafresh Erechoy. If someone separates the monies for his Erech Vow, the Kohen already evaluated, okay, how much was the Erech? Okay, or how old, what gender, fine. Now, and he separates the monies. Oidamav, or let's say regarding, if there was regarding the monetary value of someone, v'nignevu oyavdu, and now the money's got stolen or lost. So ava bishloy amalai, although he didn't say it's on me, but still, chay bachr yusan, he's going to be responsible to insure those funds, achiki liyara gizbar, until he gets to the hand of the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, like it says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra, v'nosan nese erkecha bayemahu kodesh la'ashem, that you're going to give your erech vow on erech value on that day, holy tashem, which teaches that it becomes kodesh when you give it. So therefore, harei mechulin actually is unconsecrated av bishav bishim, although you set aside the funds, achigil deagizba, until it gets to the hand of a treasurer. So until it gets it, you haven't done anything, you haven't given anything. It's not considered like it's hektish, and okay, hektish lost it. It wasn't hektish until he gave it to benosin, and therefore you're responsible until it gets to the hand of the mikdash treasurer. Halach yidalt. These obligations of erech vows and monetary vows, the courts take collateral for them. But and they also forcibly take from them what they vowed. And moreover, although generally people take collateral, you have to give it back a day or night, whichever one it is that the person normally uses. Because by giving back the collateral, the Pasuk says, you're doing charity by giving it back to the person. Now, Chazal tell us, only a regular person needs to do tzedakah. Hektish does not need to do tzedakah, and therefore they don't have an obligation to give back the collateral when the person needs it. Moreover, meichrin kolan nimtzalehem, you also sell whatever properties the person who took the vow, who can't afford it, but he has properties, whatever he has, from real estate, from movable item, from clothing, from household utensils, from that of household items, and slaves and animals. And in the firm like Kolan, you can collect from everything that you sell off from his stuff to be able to pay up his erich and or dam and vows. But they moichim, but you don't sell luxus ishtay, not his wife's clothing, but luxus bonum, not his children's clothing, not even clothing that, although it's still his, but he had designated for them that he died, he colored them for their colored clothing. And neither even brand new shoes, at least that he bought for them, that earmarked for his wife or children, those also cannot be taken. A similar context is if someone sanctifies all his properties, also these items are not considered in that hektish, and they cannot be taken. The that we give him from all his properties, whoever this is that the hektish has a lien on because he took an erchen vow or a damim vow or he was makdish amonis by the gabayis and he can't afford it, so we're taking away his stuff. But nicely, tefillin shall reish v'shal yad, but we do give him the tefillin that he wears on his head and his arm, the sandal and his shoes, v'chisei leishav lav and the chair to sit on, umito and a bed, umatza harun leishav lav and a mattress that is fit for him to sleep on, v'mayu ani, and if he was a pauper who's not used to using a mattress, then nicely, mito, we give him a bed, which is the frame, umapets, and we give him just a reed mat, leishav lav, to sleep on. Eben islam mizayin shleishav, we give him food for 30 days, uchsush ne'masachet, we give him clothing for 12 months. But it's again, it's only loy levada, only for him. That's what we give for. Although we can't take away his wife's and kids' clothing, but we don't leave him from his own stuff to support loy leishtevanim, not for his wife and his sons. And that's av pishu chayv in the same mechusism, although he's obligated to support them with food and clothing. But ve'ein nisn loy leksusaru loy, we only give him the clothing that's fit for him and not what's fit for his wife and kids. Halacha design, let's say how you love clay meshi begad muzhaven. Let's say he was wearing silk clothing and golden garments. So we actually remove them from him. But we give him the type of clothing that's fit for a person like him for weekday clothing. We don't leave him over expensive Shabbos and Yom Tov clothing. And again, because we have to sell all of his stuff to pay up his debts that he had taken for hektish. Now, let's say he was a professional craftsman. So he needs for his job. So we leave him two of every single type of tool for him to use. Kitzit haso, amoy charish, but it was a carpenter. So noisnei shnei matz adam, we leave him two planes, which is to make things straight, or shnei megeris and two saws. Now, let's say hoyle kelim merubim mimen echad. Let's say he had a lot from one type, he had 17 saws, umatam mimen sheni, and he had too little of a second type, he only had one plane. Then ein moichim merubim, we don't sell from the one that he has many of, v'loichim memut, and to take from the one that he has too little of, to make sure that he has two of everything. No, ela noisnei shnei kelim merubim, we give him two vessels from the one that he has many of. Then what he adds from the little one, we don't add on to make that even. But the max is two, but he could actually have less. Now, let's say it was a donkey driver or a farmer. We don't give him his animal. Although his whole livelihood is only from the donkey or from the cow, doesn't make a difference. That's considered part of his assets, not part of his tools that he uses. Let's say he was a sailor. We don't give him his boat. Rather, it's all sold. Again, like it's not really considered clay umnis, it's considered as nechasa, which is all meshubed to hektish. Halachi Tes Ram continues regarding the evaluation of the collections, of how you go ahead and sell off his stuff. Let's say in his estate, which he doesn't have cash, doesn't have liquid, so you're going collecting from his assets. So let's say in his assets were behema, animals, vavadim, and slaves, and margolis, and pearls. Now, va'amra tagram, the merchant said like this, if you buy a nice suit, you buy a beautiful clothing for this slave, that's for 30 mana, mishabechu ma'a, he's going to go up 100, anyone knows anything about flip and fix, so all these different things, you put in 30,000, you then make 100,000. So the slave is also telling him, look, if you want to sell off and get money from this guy's estate to pay up for the hectares, just invest 30 saw, you'll make 100. Or let's say parazais. Let's say this cow, if you take it to the marketplace on the market day, it's going to automatically going to go up 10 sella that way or 10 dinarim that way. Or magaliazai, this pearl, and malanais lamakam plenty, if you take it to that place, tishamam rab, in that location, it's going to be worth a lot of money. But vakan in the shavel mat, in this place, only worth a little bit. So Allah is in Shemlan, we don't listen to the merchants. And the kids are saying, what do? Maychin akol, we sell everything he has, bimkoyme, in its place, ubashayte, and in the moment, kamashu, how it is right now. Shemlan says in the pasuk, benosna se'erkecha bayim hu kodesh l'Hashem, that you're going to give your erkvah that day, kodesh l'Hashem. L'rab is called davish al-hektish, to include everything of hektish. Shema farkas, and I say, we don't beautify it. V'imam tim b'lishok, we don't wait for the market day. V'lim alich, and I say, we don't take it from place to place. Ein l'hektish, el mekoyme, b'shayte, hektish only has its place and its time, like it says, bayemahu, what you're giving at that moment. Now, halacha chaf. Now, b'med v'mum, when do we say this, that we don't delay the sale, is b'metalim avadim, is by movable items, by slaves, because those we have concerns, we don't want to wait, because it could be stolen, it could be lost, they could run away, so hektish could lose out. Avol hakarkos, be right, regarding real estate, then actually we do, because we're also smart as hektish. We make an announcement for 60 days straight in the morning and the evening. And then we sell it and we'll get the highest bidder that way. It's only because we're concerned generally something might happen, but real estate's not going anywhere. And then, yeah, we will invest in that wait of time so that we can get top dollar for our real estate.